Hello, and thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the What If Podcast. Let's keep the music rolling. It's a great day here. It's a great Thursday. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Doug Satuca, Michael Garaffa. How are you guys doing today?
Haven't participated in the show in quite a while, and I'm very excited to get after it, so let's do it.
Mike?
It's a very good day today, bringing the What If show back. Really excited about it, so let's get going.
All right. So we're going to start off with a little football here. We're going to go to the New England Patriots, their former franchise QB, not Tom Brady. We're going to talk a little bit about a guy, Drew Bledsoe. Here he was the franchise QB from 1993 to around 2000. And I don't know if you guys all know the story. He got hurt. Tom Brady came in. They won the Super Bowl. And the rest was history. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Not really debatable at this point. But my question is for you guys. What if Drew Bledsoe never got hurt?
Well, if Bledsoe never got hurt, let's just take a step back. In the NFL draft in 1993, he was picked first overall. So he was the New England Patriot franchise quarterback. He's a four-time Pro Bowler in 94, 96, 97, and 2002. Pretty impressive career there. He was an NFL passing yard leader in 1994. He was the Pac-10 Offensive Player of the Year in 1992, so that was the year before he got drafted number one overall, and he's in the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. So although he got replaced by Tom Brady due to the injury, he still had a great career with the New England Patriots. He does have that Super Bowl championship, but as Ben alluded to, that is Tom Brady's.
Yeah, he was MVP that year.
Yes, so there you go. But from a Tom Brady standpoint, without Bledsoe getting injured, Brady, a low-round pick, what was it, sixth round?
He was a sixth rounder.
Sixth round pick out of Michigan for Brady. Not really a cornerstone guy, not a guy that was really being brought up as the next quarterback for the New England Patriots. More of a project that might work out, might not work out. So once he got the opportunity, he just ran with it, and it's history now.
I mean, you look up the Tom Brady 2000 or whatever NFL Combine highlights. Yeah. They are in the slowest 40-yard dash I've ever seen in my entire life, for a quarterback at least. And Brady was a guy threw three passes in 2000. So he was a guy that wasn't seeing the field at all. Drew Bledsoe was obviously the guy there. He was a Pro Bowler. I mean, that season, it's unreal what happened. I mean, Brady got the opportunity. You see it all the time in sports when guys get opportunities, they just run away with it, like you said, though.
Yeah, similar to, I'm trying to think, Alex Smith, maybe? Colin Kaepernick. Similar to situation there, although Alex Smith did move on to other teams and has been pretty successful in his career, although the injury bug bit him last year and he might not return to football due to that scary injury last year. But for Bledsoe, he retired after a few short stints with the Buffalo Bills. He did make a Pro Bowl appearance with the Bills, and he played for the Cowboys for a bit. So Bledsoe, after the injury, was unable to return to form. And Tom Brady, his name is in question for the best player of all time. Not just the best quarterback of all time, but the best player of all time. We're talking about a six-time Super Bowl champion, four-time Super Bowl MVP, three-time most valuable player, 14-time Pro Bowler, 13-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, two-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year. He's an NFL Comeback Player of the Year. The awards are off the chart. This guy is an outstanding talent. And without the injury to Bledsoe, all this may have never happened. There's probably something in a multiverse somewhere where Bledsoe doesn't get hurt and Tom Brady's...
Shout out to TheoryCast there.
Rip TheoryCast.
Yep.
There's probably a time where Tom Brady is not even... hadn't even touched the field in one of those multiverses somewhere. So this Tom Brady legacy may have never happened if Bledsoe did not get hurt.
I mean, it's a very interesting topic. I mean, I don't really know much about football, but obviously I've got to know that Tom Brady's the best quarterback. So if you think about what could possibly happen, I mean, with the repercussions of that, all you need is one chance. If you don't get that one chance, you might not be in the same attitude. It might have just been his day that day when Bledsoe got hurt, and he finally took the chance that he got, and he ran with it. So clearly, Brady took the open door that was in front of him. He walked through it, and he walked through it with a lot of style.
So we've debated. We think without the Bledsoe injury, Tom Brady's most likely would have never stepped on the field and become what he is today, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, probably. Makes sense. There's obviously a lot of things you could think about that go into this. I mean, what if, he could just, maybe Bledsoe just retires sooner.
Well, he could have still had a great career, just not what's happened here. Maybe not with the Patriots. They might have went in a different direction. Everything happens for a reason, so.
100%.
So that's just how it worked out for Tom Brady and for the New England Patriots. We'll move on to our second topic of the show. A guy that many of you may not know, Wally Pipp. Played for the New York Yankees from 1915 to 1925. He was a World Series champion in 1923, two-time AL home run leader in 1916 and 17. The starting first baseman for the New York Yankees sat out one game with a headache. Lou Gehrig takes over at first base for the New York Yankees. Wally Pipp never plays again for the Yanks. And Lou Gehrig, as many of you know, played a 17-season career in the MLB for the Yankees from 1923 to 1939 and is one of the better players to ever do it.
For sure. I mean, he's one of the greatest Yankees of all time, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, and one of the more inspirational people of all time, obviously dealing with his own disease there, ALS, named after him. Maybe we don't see that, but that's not the big picture here. The big picture here is you have one of the greatest baseball players in the history of the sport coming into his own because one guy sits out because of a headache. I mean, come on. You didn't have any Advil or anything? I mean,
it was 1950.
It's not some bum either. I mean, Wally Pipp's a well-known name to big-time baseball fans.
Yeah, hit 280. Yeah. Led the league in home runs twice, I believe. So, I mean, it's not some bum that he's taken over just because of a headache. Lou Gehrig gets thrown in. And he becomes one of the best Yankees of all time. He hit 340, had over 2,700 hits, just under 500 home runs, and had 1,995 runs batted in. So an outstanding career for Lou Gehrig, seven-time All-Star appearance man, six-time World Series champ, two-time AL MVP, hit for the Triple Crown in 1934. So Lou Gehrig, without the injury to Wally Pipp, He definitely had the talent to do this, but 100%. Maybe not the opportunity may have never came.
I mean, who knows? Maybe we're talking about a 15-year career for Gehrig instead of a 17-year. I mean, who knows? Obviously, a legend, but injuries do play their role in a lot of people's career. Maybe definitely for the worst part of some, and extremely beneficial for the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Lou Gehrig, big face of baseball for a long time, and like Ben said, mentioned with the Lou Gehrig's disease. Lou Gehrig's a very big guy, and he played a very big role. I mean, I don't really know about many things that happened back then that far other than, like, Babe Ruth's kind of stuff. But obviously, Lou Gehrig, if you're a real baseball fan, Lou Gehrig is a household name. And this also could lead to other things, like maybe if this doesn't happen, if Gehrig doesn't get to play, maybe ALS isn't named after him. Maybe it's named after somebody else. So it's a very, very good question. And obviously, I got to enjoy getting a little baseball in. So,
yeah, totally. So, Lou Gehrig, the former captain of the New York Yankees from 1935 to 1939, created a pretty solid career for himself after Wally Pipp decided to sit out a game with a concussion. So,
340 career average for Lou Gehrig.
I mean, that's...
it's unheard of.
I mean, obviously, back then, that's a little bit more common, but it's still very, very good.
Hall of Famer...
yeah.
Monument Park inductee.
Doug, got a question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
The year's 1923. What are you batting in the MLB?
1923. What average?
What average are we looking at?
So the league average you're talking.
No, for you.
You personally. If you're playing in 1923.
For me, just give me 300.
Ben and I actually, we discussed this a few weeks ago. Like a few months ago. We were like, if we were playing in like 1920... how would we hit? And I think we both decided we'd be hitting around like 200, 250.
Nah. Give me a buck 50.
I mean, like, but
I'm going for 300 here. You know what?
What do you think they're throwing? Just like meatballs over the plate?
Probably.
70 flat?
I mean, if they're throwing 70, Ben, you and I could hit at least
I'd say 250 to 300 in that range. But that's
I'll get some stats on that. You can keep talking about it.
If we could get that time machine rolling, then maybe we could... Maybe we could flash ourselves back into that time era and take a few swings.
Hey, you can only judge him off the base average, of 340.
Exactly.
Pretty good for Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, the average fastball at that time was about 75.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
So you go back in time right now and start playing. I mean, Ben, you and she I agree. Neither of us really got the chance to hit 75.
Give me a month of BP off my boy Skaggs, and I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Doug, you'd be fine. You're used to that. That's easy for you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, with the parks.
Not easy, but yes.
It'll be easier familiar. Than now.
Correct.
But, like, with the parks, you've got, like, the polo grounds that the lines are, like, 100 feet down the line. So, I mean, it's not hard to hit
it's
it
a different
out.
Game. Different yeah. game.
I mean, the light poles were, like, in center field.
Yeah. That's yeah. very true.
If there was a deep fly ball at the center and the center fielder was running back and wasn't looking, he'd probably get decked by a ball.
Maybe that's why Wally Pipp got a concussion.
As a first baseman?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he was lunging into the crowd. Derek Jeter
asked. Very true.
Before the Derek Jeter play even happened.
I didn't even think of that.
All right, introduce the next topic because we know it hits home for you.
Yeah, so the next topic is what if David Wright's slew of injuries never happened? So this is a very big topic for me. David Wright, obviously the face of the New York Mets and the face of the Mets for his entire career. But the big question for me is what would happen if David Wright never got hurt in the first place? And it really all started back in 2011 when Carlos Lee was diving back to third. He dove back to try and tag him out, and he ended up pulling something in his back. And ever since then, David Wright really hasn't been the same. He played a good amount of time in between then until about 2015. He played relatively consistently with back problems. He was hitting a lot lower than he normally would, and his home run level was a lot lower as well. But he was still the face of the franchise, and the captain was still able to walk onto the field. But around 2014, 2015, I remember in a game against the Marlins, he ended up hurting himself again. And it took him out for a lot longer this time. 2014, I believe, was the first time. And then 2015, he was out the entire season, came back in September, and hit a magical two-run home run in the upper deck at Citizens Bank Park, first pitch he sees back after being out since April. I'll never forget that pitch, and it was an amazing play. And then he's able to go on. He was hurt a little bit the rest of the season. He gets his magical appearance in the World Series. It's a home run and his only World Series appearance. And it was a very, very amazing end to David Wright's career because, as we all know, after that, David Wright hasn't really played in any games at all. So good way for David Wright to go out and remember his career. But again, my question, what if he never got hurt in the first place?
So David Wright played for the New York Mets 2004-16 and then made his final appearance in 2018. Seven-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove Award winner, and two-time Silver Slugger. So this is no bum. This guy's a legit player. As you said, the face of the franchise. He was also named the captain in 2013, became the fourth in team history. Also for David Wright, he led the franchise in most career RBIs, doubles, total bases, runs scored, walks, sacrifice flies, times on base, extra base hits, strikeouts, double plays, and hits. So as you said, a huge piece of the New York Mets franchise, and a guy who, after having major back problems, just was never able to get himself back to the form that alludes to those numbers that I was talking about. Without the injuries, David Wright probably continues on that path. He'd probably be retired around now, maybe.
No, his contract, I believe, goes still through 2020.
Maybe still playing, but towards the tail end of his career.
Yeah.
But you'd expect his numbers to be relatively the same or maybe just a slight drop off from what those MVP numbers were like. But you hate to see injuries like that just derail a guy's career. And it was a great sight when he came back in his last MLB appearance, September 29th, 2018, when he came back and played his final game for the New York Mets. So, something for Met fans to be happy about, but you hate to see how David Wright's career ended. And maybe without the injuries, he'd still be playing today.
Yeah, definitely a legend amongst the Mets fan base, especially our boy Mike over there. Obviously a great talent. He would have been, 36 right now? So it's not
He is.
It's not like anything, would have been. Sorry, he's not dead, but he's 36 right now. It's not like he would have been contributing at that same rate. But obviously the back injuries just took a toll on him for years, and
right,
he definitely still would have been making the impact, an impact for the Mets if it wasn't for those injuries.
Well, a good example of his stats here, he had a good stretch from 2005 to 2008 through 2008. He had 27, 26, 30, and 33 home runs. Ever since then, the most he's had was in 2010 with 29. Ever since then, the only time he got over 20 was in 2012 with 21. He got 8 in 2014, 5 in 2015, 7 in 2016. His overall games, he was relatively high, but once 2011 hit, that was the first season he really got hurt, was 102. Since before then, he hadn't played any games less than 144, except for his first year. So that was 6 solid years of playing 144 games or up. And then 2011 comes by, he plays 102 games. 2012 was a good bounce back year. He had 156, but then 112, 134, 38, 37, and 2. So very sad for David Wright. I mean, he had overall in his career, he had quite a lot of home runs, 242. I mean, if he's playing at normal strength, he might have gotten up to that 300 mark, which would have been big for him. He had 1,777 hits, could have gotten that 2,000 mark as well, maybe even higher. So a lot of landmarks. I mean, he was a career 296 hitter. That's nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's better than a lot of guys. So he could have been in the history books with a lot of really good landmarks as well.
Yeah, totally. So injuries derailed David Wright, similar to the other athletes that we spoke about on this show today. But anything else we'd like to add?
Just good to have the show back.
It is a great show.
It was.
I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we do. We like to give you facts along with our opinions and what we believe would have happened if these athletes or if something didn't happen to these athletes or if it did. So that's our take on the fact. So we'd like to thank Mr. Ricciuti, Mr. Doxy, Dr. Catapano, the administration, everyone that contributes to our podcast setup. Special thanks to the class of 2016 for their generous donation for all of our equipment. So for Mike Arafa, Benjamin Dixon, I'm Douglas Latuca. Hope you guys enjoyed. We will see you for some future podcasts.